You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Playing country music, because our next guest, the Phantom, the one and only Michael Musselman, joins us. He's been sick, though, man. What is up? Yeah. What's your deal, fragile little thing?
Pneumonia, man. I guess it's a pretty big deal. That's why people die from it, I guess, right?
Come on, man. So what are we talking? What are we talking about here? It was influenza, and now we're talking pneumonia.
Right. I started with the flu. I beat that within a couple of days, and then when I went to go back to my checkup, that's when I got the, I'm sorry, but you got crackling sounds in your lungs. So I went and did a chest X-ray. So they put me on really strong antibiotics.
And so what do you do all day?
It's getting better. It's better. I mean,
you sound the same. Right now, sound the same pathetic human being. So would you just lay around and go, oh,
no.
Man.
Well, no. The wife wants me to. I've been doing stuff. Like yesterday, I was out, and I lost my voice. And I was on the campaign stuff with Ron this week. Lost my voice.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
What are you pouring? What are you pouring?
Oh, a cup of bourbon.
Nice.
Just water.
Some things don't change. All right. So let's talk about a couple of marine things. Okay, you with me?
What, the M27?
No. Why do you want to talk about the M27?
No. I mean, I just saw the Commandant did officially make it to the infantry weapon.
Ooh.
So service rifle.
All right. And tell everybody, what is the significance about that?
It's just a better gun.
Yeah. But it's only for the infantry.
I would love. Man, that is kind of sad. I wish I was there just like, man, that'd be cool. Rub that in their face. We are different.
Okay. Why are you, why is the Marine Corps finally fielding the small 2 when we just said we were going to the Carl Gustav?
It's not fielding the small 2.
Marines finally field the small mod 2. After several years of testing, Marines have finally fielded the new updated Mark 135 shoulder launched multipurpose assault weapon.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay, so that's just, they made a couple upgrades to it. That had been in the works for a very long time back. I mean, before I got out, it had been working on for 2 years. That's why the small is dead. I mean, because the thing that was supposed to be is called, after TOW, it was follow on to TOW, FOX, and then follow on to small, FOS. And then small never really panned out. So finally we were just getting like, hey, you know what, we're done with this. And then the big push when we were in the division was our number one, division's number one when I was there was Carl Gustav. We needed to call Gustav. So the right people were there afterwards and it started to take traction. We're not sticking with the small. What you're seeing is residue rising to the surface.
So why are we, for instance, this is the Marine Corps is like these contradictory stories, right? We're doing away with
from Marine Times.
We're doing away with assault Marines. You know, to make more cyber Marines, even though we don't know what cyber Marines do yet. And now we're expanding, combat engineers in support of infantrymen. So
yeah,
I don't like what. What's just do we just rename them and get different MOS? But I don't get
well,
what happens. And
then
it says we're going to the Carl Gustav, and now we finally feel the small mod too. Like what are we doing?
No, that's I mean again you're seeing just residue stuff starting to surface.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be alarmed by any of it. This is just daily business. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I can't see her experience yet because then that would be reasonably, but unreasonable type of outcomes. So can work.
Right.
Just doesn't work. It's magic, man.
It's magic.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that. All right. If you tell me not to worry, then I won't worry.
Let's talk about why I'm upset today. Can we talk about why I'm upset today? You're going to love this story. This is a true story.
Okay, hold on. First of all, I want to talk about you were on the phone with...
This is not science fiction.
You were on the phone with the VA yesterday.
That was no big deal. That was just... Man, that took for a long time. We were just going through... I have some stuff I have to go and get tested. That's fine. They're not the reason why I'm upset.
They're not?
No.
Oh, that's odd, because normally when you're on the phone with the VA...
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally that
Sparks.
Does. Yeah.
Sparks.
Normally that does.
That conversation was actually nice.
Right.
The conversation after that is the conversation that almost put me into the stratosphere.
Well.
Seriously.
Okay. All right. I want to hear about that. I also want. I want to ask you about another weapons deal that I.
Okay.
But I have to find. So go ahead. Let's talk about you and why you're unhappy. Because it's your happiness.
This is a true story. I'm not making this up. I swear. I will sign anything. This is because people are going to say as I start the story about halfway in, they're going to go no. No, Gunner's drinking in the day. No, this is a true story.
Okay, all right.
So, a month ago, my wife gets a letter in the mail from Los Angeles Police Department for violations.
Oh.
So I'm like, what the hell? So I'm laughing about it, you know, because I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be funny. So I don't open it. Wait till she gets home. And then she gets home. She's like, what's this? She opens it. And it basically is a parking ticket on a car we sold almost a year ago. And so we're like, what? Okay, whatever. So the next day, we call the number on there. And, of course, you can't get to any human being. There's no...
Right.
No way to get to him. So there's three blocks. It says pay fine, send information or dispute that you weren't there, you know. And then the other block is this car doesn't belong to me, basically. So we check that block and we send in copies of the bill of sale,
right.
Transfer, everything, the tags, you know, over and over and over and over. So we send that away. And so about a week after that, we send that out. We get another one from another place. And they're all in L.A. area, these parking violations. And we're like, what the hell? So this one, I'm like, okay. So I try again the next day. Call, can't get a human. So I call LAPD, Rampart Division.
Yeah.
So I got some buddies down there. So I call them, and they're trying to put me in touch with someone. And finally, I'm talking to someone, and I'm explaining the situation. And they're like, well, let me pull it up. So they pull it up. They said, yeah, this is weird, because it still shows you as the owners of the car. And I said, oh, that is weird. And I said, well, why don't I do this then? Why don't I report the car stolen? That way the next time you guys find this thing parking illegally, you tow it, you put it here in Pong Yard, and I'm giving you my verbal consent right now. You can use it forever, whatever you want, with the department you want. So she's laughing. She's like, sir, you can't do that either. And because that would be submitting the false claim, and that's against the law. Right. And I'm like, okay. So I said, what can I do? She's like, well, you know, do this, do that, do this. So in the meantime, I get a third notice, another parking violation. And then I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then we get back a response from the LA parking enforcement people. These are the meter people. These aren't cops. Right?
Right.
It's a totally different, separate branch. So I get a letter back, and it basically states this. In order for us to go forward with this, you must first pay the fine. And then dispute the fine. And then we go from there. So, and there's a letter, and there's a number on it. So I'm like, I'm going to try this with a different number. I call, and I get a human being.
Oh, that's a win right there. Whoa, what just happened?
Can I immediately talk to your supervisor? Well, I am a supervisor. Excellent. This is amazing. This is great. Okay, here's my situation. Here's my story. Read him a letter. I give him the contact number, whatever they can do to research. He gets on his computer. He goes through everything. And he's like, okay, I got everything right here. And I said, all right. So, this is where it gets kind of weird. Do you mind if I put someone else on the line? I said, no, go right ahead. So he puts in this woman on the line. So I'm talking, and I'm, you know, we're going through this whole thing. I said, what can I do to get this done? And he said, well, what you need to do is pay the fine, and then we dispute it from there. I said, no, that ain't happening. And here's why. If I'm paying the fine, I'm admitting guilt. It's an admission of guilt. I'm not guilty. I'm not any but me but so guilty. I've explained it to you. You two both understand. You can read the letter, read everything, draw a conclusion that I stopped being the owner. And then after this, the parking violations start coming out. So I don't get it. Well, sir, you need to pay the fine. And I said, no, I don't. You don't, you're missing the point. And they said, well, if you don't pay the fine, and these add up, there's going to be a warrant for your arrest. I said, good. Arrest me. Please. Please so. I'm looking forward to being arrested in the state of California. And here's what I'm looking forward to. I said, and as a matter of fact, what I'm really contemplating is giving this story to a Texas news outlet because we make fun of your state. And I said, you know, she's like, well, and then the lady pipes in. She goes, well, sir, things may be different in Texas, but in California, because I said the comment of, what happened to, where did it stop happening where I have to provide the burden of proof to prove my innocence, and it's on you to provide, to have the burden of proof to prove my guilt, to meet me be guilty, right? She goes, sir, in the state of California, one has to always prove their innocence first. And I stopped, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe the guy caught how stupid it was she just said. But no, he chimes in and says the same damn thing. Sir, in this state, the person must prove his guilt or prove his innocence. And I'm like, are you guys crazy? You're crazy. You know, and this is where it just starts going, like, out of control, because literally, Mac, I must first admit my guilt. And then from there, and it's by no means is a guarantee. So pay every one of these parking tickets, right? A couple $100 a piece. And then fight my way to get the money back and get the car cleared. In the meantime, the parking violations are going to still go up. And I said, you know,
but
you would.
But, Mike, this happens all the time, and there's a spot on the ticket that says, I no longer own the vehicle, because this happens all the time where people, you know, you sign the pink slip, right, and you sign the bill of sale, but they still got to go to the DMV and change the registration. So it's not like this is not a regular occurrence in any state in the country.
Well, okay, so I call the state of Texas, ask them what they could do. And I get a hold of, we don't have a call, DMV, you know, but it's like a DMV.
Right.
And And I asked them, what can I do?
More whiskey?
No, coffee. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there talking, and I give them all the information. And they're looking at me, and they go, really? They said this to you? This is ridiculous. Why would they, you know, like, no. And I said, what's even crazier, you know, into this guy? And I said, in California, you have to basically prove your innocence. It's not about the state has to prove your guilt, you know, like every other place, in law and in justice. And they're like, I mean, this guy was just cracking up. He goes, do you mind if I take this and then I will, on your behalf, I will contact the, you know, the appropriate officials in the state of California.
Are you kidding me? What, the state?
Wow. Yeah. So
that's amazing, because the state of Texas, really, they have no dog in that fight, right?
No, other than they know that when they see stupid, you know, when you see stupid, stomp it out. That's your responsibility. That's your goal in life.
Yeah, but it's not in their.
Don't allow stupid to grow.
It's not in their state, though. I mean, you have to admit, it is certainly atypical for any state worker to say, yeah, we'll take that up on your behalf with another DMV in another state. No problem.
It's typical here.
Wow, that's amazing.
But the day was so spoiled by the fact that I finally got to talk to a human, and the human had no concept of common sense.
No,
none.
But we deal with that in the VA. We deal with that in state agencies. It's everywhere.
The conversation I had earlier today with the VA was common sense.
I know, let me tell you, is that your normal experience with the VA? I can answer that.
No.
And you get these people. No. Let me just tell you, you get these people that hide in bureaucracies, be it at the DMV, be it in the county, and you walk in and you ask them to use their brain and apply, you know, common sense to this situation to help you out, and they're just pulling down. It's like they're pulling down a paycheck, and they could give a rip. They could give a rip.
Yeah, I think what surprised me the most was the fact that a government employee of the state made the comment of, no, one must have to prove their innocence.
Yeah, but Mike, you know that just whoever it is somehow or other winds up with you on the phone, right? Somebody who's smarter than them, and you say, hey, I need your help. And rather than saying, yeah, that's not right, and again, I'm sure when these people get to a position, an adult, and they say, oh, yeah, I got in this argument, and he's now in Texas, and he thinks because he sold the car, he's not liable for these anymore. And that, and the adult looks at him and says, he's not. That's why there's a block on the form that says that.
So, no, but it didn't happen.
So what should I have done? You should have helped him and done the right thing and checked the no longer owns this vehicle as of this date, blah, 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 blah.
I even asked. I said, okay, you guys have access to the computer. You can. These are the people that can actually put stuff in notes on your car.
Right.
So when a cop pulls you over, it'll say stuff like, you know, belligerent. I mean, these are the guys that can do that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I said, isn't there any place that you can check or make in a comment section that the next time that this car is written up, because they're doing the VIN number, they're not giving the plates. That's why I'm getting tagged. The plates I have. They're in my garage. And that's what was the other conversation. Well, so the plates. I said, the plates, they're in my freaking garage. I took them off. They're folded in half, and they're sitting on the shelf. I'll go get them and take a photograph and send them to you. They don't have the plates. Well, I said, does State of California issue plates then that have already been issued? Well, no, sir, it's not usually. Okay, then. I still have the plates. So, and, you know, then there's that pause. Okay, I can't go down that road.
How is this happening?
Yeah.
How is this happening?
I said, can't you put something in the comments next time this car is scanned, you know, and the VIN number is put in that says, is not the registered owner impound? So, because isn't that against the law in the state of California? Well, yes, sir, it is. Oh, okay. So the person committing these crimes, they're not crimes, but these violations, is breaking the law by not having the car registered. Yes. And you're waiting for that moment of clarity. That moment where he goes,
and?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Gosh, gosh darn it. You know, but no, it never comes. What comes is, sir, you must pay the fine first. And then from there, fill this form out. And then contest the fee. Which is not a guarantee that you're going to get your money back.
No, come on. Okay, so let's cut.
So the
Texas DMV, obviously this person is stupid. Because I had the same issue with a vehicle, and I think I went down to the DMV. I had to show the copy I had of the pink slip and the bill of sale, and once I did that, they said okay. Because they didn't have that. Because normally what you expect is when you either trade it in or sell it, that people operate, you know, as they're supposed to. But sometimes they don't. But in this case, if it's a private sale, they would have no way of knowing.
No, it's not a private sale.
Right. No. So
it goes to a dealer.
Wow, that doesn't happen very often because normally dealers are pretty thorough about that kind of stuff. What the hell, man? That's just stupid.
Oh, and it's got stupid all
and
over.
So how is the vehicle being traced to you? If
VIN number.
And so there's no plates on the vehicle.
No, there's a temporary plate, a Texas paper plate.
A Texas paper plate? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So where's the car? Is the car in Texas?
No, it's in California. It was sold at a dealership here, traded.
In Texas.
Immediately, the dealership sold it to a third party, which then sold it to these individuals that, as soon as they bought it, went to California.
Okay, so the Texas DMV should be involved in this, and the dealership should be involved as well.
Well, okay, yeah. Both. Well, the dealership shows... that there was something that they did, and they fixed that. They have now since fixed that.
They have. The dealership has.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And the Texas DMV has then fixed it because the dealership fixed it.
Got it.
Who hasn't done anything is California. For some weird reason, California
has not updated
their records.
Right. So, but again,
which would
so,
then show that the car during these dates wasn't mine. But what they're holding on to is the fact that during these dates, the car was still registered to me by the VIN number. Since then, the car has not been.
Okay, but it's, so it's not, the car wasn't in the California DMV database. It was in the Texas DMV database.
It's the nationwide one.
Right.
Yeah.
So according to California, it's not their property, it's Texas property. They look, you're the owner, blah 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 blah. So now when the Texas DMV called the state of California and said, yeah, he hasn't owned this car since XYZ, then what happened?
Nothing. It's still that's where the stupidity comes in. So what they did was they in the system from the day of sale, that's when the day is actually my name is cleared of the title.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So what happened was these tickets took place after that. When this system fixed itself, it retroactively made the date of sale back in 6 months from the first parking violation.
Got it.
California doesn't understand that. Because they were issued to me, a normal person, you at the DMV would say, oh,
right.
Well, let's tear those up then.
Right.
Because now that shows that the car, 6 months before we even had the first violation, you didn't own the car.
Now, do you think that's just one person being stupid, or do you think the entire state of California is stupid?
The entire state of California. Come on, man. You know, nothing has changed. You know, the one thing I used to hate the most, we used to talk about it, you and I, was going to California DMV and sitting in those lines. And it was the first time when I first got out here and, you know, went to DMV.
You don't have a DMV. You say you don't have a DMV, though. What is it?
Well, we have, it's a, is it like a, it's like Texas Department of Motor Vehicles.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's something like that. But you walk in there with all your information, and you hand it to this lady, and there's no line, by the way. You walk right in.
Yeah, that's because you live in Granbury, Texas. If you go into Dallas or Fort Worth, there's a line.
Fort Worth. No, there isn't. Not Fort Worth.
Okay, don't tell me there's no lines in Texas. I don't buy it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
I haven't seen one yet.
All right. That's because you go at like 10 in the morning when there's nobody there. Yeah. Ah, boom. Deal with that one.
So you walk in there, and I handed all the stuff, and she's like, you pay your $6 filing, your $6 registration, because that's what my car's cost,
$6. $6?
Yeah, six, hold on.
Wow.
A piece, man.
So a total of 12.
18, because I got my
car. Oh, you got your daughter's car, too. All right, got it.
And then you get your plates and everything right there, your sticker, and you go out there, and you put everything in your car, and you're done. Remember, like, Virginia, you get your plates right there, and they hand you your plates?
Yeah. California, they mail them to you.
Yeah, because it's a system where someone's got to make money. The prisoners got to make those plates.
Is that why it is? Why can't they ship them to the DMVs and DMVs handle them out? Why is it more efficient to mail them?
It's money. More times it can change.
Come on, man. Don't tell me that. It can't be money. It's the state.
It's no, Mac. It's money, buddy. You can't tell me the state of Texas and many other states. We're not just the same. We're not all the same. But they have figured out through technology how to issue plates. Hands reach back and grab the plate behind them in a box and hand them to you and enter those into the computer and those be final. That other states, and California still hasn't figured this out, this breathtaking advanced knowledge. Is that what you're clinging to?
No, I'm asking a question. I have no idea because the DMV is its own unique beast in California. But why would you do it that way?
Because the more times that you create layers, the more people get paid.
Okay. All right. Well, look, if I'm looking for logic, probably government is probably the wrong place to look, and maybe you're right.
It's layers. The more you can create layers of bureaucracy,
more jobs.
The more people get, more jobs, more people are getting money, and the more you're paying.
Okay, let me type it in. Why doesn't the California DMV
issue plates right in person?
License plates in person. Now, somebody should have asked this before. Why so many cars in California don't have license plates?
No.
California license plate backwards information. California ridiculous temporary license plate rule needs to end. But
yeah,
rather than issue a paper license on the back window, this temporary registration is in the form of a note card size piece of paper on the front windshield with print so tiny that it looks like it came from something, something. I don't see an entry for why it doesn't. This. In your home state, which is not California, one of two things happen when you buy a car. The first possibility is that they issue you a license plate right there at the dealership, which is what happens in a few northeastern states. This is an excellent idea. I think there's absolutely no way possible that any type of fraud could come out of giving a stack of unissued fully legal license plates to Big Bob's used cars and bail bonds, where repeat customers get a free Glock 17. It's more likely, however, that they issue you a temporary license plate. What happens here is you get a little paper plate, often affixed to the back window with a set of numbers and boldly imprinted expiration date, usually good for 30, 60, 90 days, which allows the dealer the time to process your paperwork and then DMV ample time to lose it. These things are foolproof. This is more a piece of comedy. So I don't know. I don't know, Mike. I don't know. So now, where are you in all this? Are you still on the hook for these tickets?
Yeah.
Wow. So you have a good chance you're going to get arrested when you come back.
I would love to. Seriously, I would love nothing better. That would make my day. Seriously.
I would love to see you on the People's Court.
Because I would immediately contact the local media.
Why, wait a minute. Why don't I see CMC approves M27 service rifle? Why didn't I see that on Marine Corps Times?
Yes.
Or
why not?
I don't know. Where did you see it?
Did you just see it?
No, I haven't seen it at all. Why haven't I seen it?
How come you haven't seen it?
Where? How did you see it?
Will told me.
Well, it's not in the news.
It sure is.
No, it's not. I just Googled it. CMC approves M27.
Okay, no one knows what CMC is.
You're right. Google just rejected it.
Right.
How about Marine Corps approves M27?
Comment on the Marine Corps approves M27.
M27's and head-to-toe gear overhaul on the way for Marine grunts. That's from some website. Military.com. M27's and head-to-toe gear overhaul on the way for many grunts. January 5th from Military.com. All right. Let me get to the bottom of this little nugget that you're trying to surprise me with. After more than a year of speculation, the word comes straight from the commandant of the Marine Corps. Grunts, including those outside of the squad, are getting the M27 infantry automatic rifle and a whole lot of other goodies to boot. Military.com first reported in November of 2016 the Marine Corps was eyeing the idea of fielding the weapon more broadly than within the infantry and had issued M27s to members of 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, the service's experimental infantry battalion, no comment, to observe how it improved their effectiveness. Currently, the M27 is carried by only one member of each infantry fire team, the automatic rifleman. With the battalion's deployment to the Pacific at an end, Marine leaders are considering a list of 41 different recommendations generated by the unit, and M27s are at the top of the list. In an interview with Military.com in late December, Commandant of the Marine Corps Robert Neller confirmed that a decision had been made to move forward with fielding the M27 more widely within the infantry. Every Marine in an infantry squad, he said, will receive the high-end rifle. And while not every Marine in a grunt battalion will carry the IAR, others outside of the squad will also be issued one.
That's awesome, huh?
Not everybody's equal.
That's okay, right. So I love – Bob is my hero, man. Bob is my hero.
He just told the president just got asked. By a Norwegian reporter, and the commandant spoke to Marines in Norway, and when he spoke, he was quoted as saying, "Hey, you need to get ready. There's a war coming." So the Norwegian reporter says, "The commandant of the Marine Corps was just in Norway and said there's a war coming. Is that true?" It's like, what? Maybe he knows something I don't. So, the president asked in public yesterday. Okay, with major Marine Corps investments for new rotary wing and fixed wing aviation platforms well underway, costs may not be an obstacle that it once was for the service in terms of modernizing kits for grunts. The commandant signaled his plan to invest heavily in the infantry when speaking with deployed Marines during his yearly Christmas tour. Blah, 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 F-35, Bravo. I could kit out every grunt in the Marine Corps with the coolest shit, head to toe, for a $100 million, he said, and I intend to do that. He said the word shit? I love that.
You know what?
I love that.
That pisses me off.
Why? Why? You were just happy. Take it easy. You're fragile.
Amos came to
General Amos.
Yeah, he came to
Tamer
when I was at RCT1. We got, you know, and he came to talk about something. And me and him known each other for a long time.
Right,
we're good friends. And so I had told one of the Marines. I said we were asking questions, and I said, "Hey, you guys want to ask questions to the commandant?" I said, grow a pair of balls and ask good questions. Don't ask him questions that you guys know, you think that he wants to hear. Ask him questions.
No softball. So, yeah. And everybody was okay with the commandant taking free questions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh. That's what he was. So, one of the kids asked me, well, sir, why can't we all get, and it was basically the, you know, equipment and gear and stuff. And I said, if the Marine Corps, money-wise, you look at money. If the Marine Corps took one Osprey and sold it, it could revitalize and with all sorts of communication equipment, weapons, helmets, body armor, you name it, for the entire infantry in the Marine Corps. One aircraft. Because, you know, when Bob Miller said $100 million, it was probably, I think, closer to, you know, when we did it, it was $250 million. And so we were fielding questions, and once this Lance Corporal stands up from 2-1 and says, sir, Lance Corporal such and such from, you know, Echo Company 2-1. My question is, why can't we, you know, invest heavily in the infantry? And then Comet went down and said, well, you know, it's the fielding of the Ospreys and the money, and right now we're trying to budget. And the kid said, well, the gunner said.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Gunner said, if we can get rid of one Osprey, we'll take care of that whole price tag. And so he looks over at me, and I stand up, and I said, how you doing, General? And he's laughing. He's like, Gunner, good to see you. You know, and we kind of a little side banter there. And he goes, I've known Gunner Musselman for a while, and this is exactly something that he'd set up to do. And I said, no, General, that's not what I told him to say. He asked me questions, and I told him, if you really had a pair of balls, ask the general a tough question. So, and I said, I did say sell an Osprey. And he looked over at me and goes, do you know a buy? And I said, you give me one, and I will get it sold, I promise you. And then he, you know, jokingly, he's like, yeah, I'll get it looked into there, Mikey, but I don't think we're going to sell one right away. But that was that whole, if we could just get someone to, and I get, you know, it's money, and at that time we were knee deep into the contract of buying B-22s. But now that you know, this whole, there's enough money for everybody thing, because, you know, look at what's going on in the government. You have a very pro military president right now, and a Congress and a Senate.
Pretty interesting. I wouldn't. Okay, so we all know that's long overdue. I mean, the equipment that Marines are wearing these days. Again, Mike has done the
it's good.
Yeah, it's good, but there's better out there, and we've not been able to afford it. So
yeah, don't tell the parents of their families that your son is being provided with the best equipment on the market. No, that's not true. It's good, and it's as good as it was before, but it's not the best. Right. And I hate when people say that. Your guy has the best that money can buy. No. No, that's not true.
Has the best that
money can buy this.
We can afford.
That's a lot better. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a couple more things. The article goes on. For what else may be coming to the infantry, look at the Uber Squad, an experiment started this year.
It was started by us.
Shut up. By Gunner Wade of the 2nd Marine Division. This summer, The 13th Marine Unit from 1st Battalion, 6th Marines, was kitted out with M27s, suppressors, high-tech ops core helmets borrowed from Marine Corps Special Operations Command that featured built-in hearing protection, but also magnify other sounds to improve situational awareness. The Marines used light MARSOC body armor and advanced ANPVS 31 Alphas night devices. They also got 60-round Magpul drums, allowing them to increase the amount of ammunition they carried. Wade said that the high-end night vision equipment had proved its worth during recent nighttime exercises at Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms. Quote, that rifle squad moved faster at night than the live fire safety chaperones, he said. The Uber squad moved too fast for them to keep up because they had better night vision goggles. The squad is expected to deploy to Europe sometime this spring to continue testing out gear, but Wade is already working on requirement documents as a starting point to get some of the equipment to every infantry squad. He said he's ready to begin writing requirements for a helmet with all the features of special operations gear, including hearing enhancements, communication, infrastructure, and ear protection. Right. Okay, suppressors and scopes. Now, I was going to ask you this as a separate question relative to scopes. The Marine Corps just announced Marine Select Rifle-Mounted Laser Rangefinder, not a scope. Let's see. Marine Corps selected a small, compact laser rangefinder that can be affixed to a rifle, boosting the lethality and capabilities of Marine infantry squads. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, this stuff.
The Marine Corps procured 300 and...
Chris is doing the God's work. You know, and I just... It's amazing to me that... Man, how it all worked out, and he came up there and did what he's doing, and then took off of everything, you know. And like Chris has said, this is stuff that everybody has been pushing, but it's now Chris riding.
Right.
He's champion of the horse. He's on the horse. Here's the fear, though, Mac, is he's retiring this year, and we need to find another Chris Wade. Otherwise, you know, this movement, this progression is just going to die.
His name came up yesterday. I was interviewing one of the guys who's written a lot for Marine Corps Times the last couple of years is a guy named Jeff Schogel. And and anybody who reads stuff about the Marine Corps will recognize the name. He left Marine Corps Times and went to Task and Purpose, another organization that covers a lot of the Marine Corps, and he will be there.
There's an organization called Task and Purpose?
A website called Task and Purpose.
Oh, yep. I thought you meant an organization, Marine Corps, like
no,
a command.
No. Schogel left Marine Corps Times and went to Task and Purpose. He's going to cover the Pentagon, so a little bit broader responsibilities. He brought up Wade, though, in talking about, I asked him to look into his crystal ball and what does he see for the Marine Corps in 2018, and he mentioned this. He said the modernization of the infantry Marine and the Marine Corps getting comfortable with infantry Marines having different equipment than everybody else. And he mentioned Gunner Wade. He mentioned what he's done with his video channel that he's developed and how he shows things to people in a way people understand. And he said it'd be very good. So interesting. We need to get him back on and talk to him about this kind of stuff in the future. So give him a call.
Yeah.
Give him a call one of these days. But Mike, one of the other things this article leads to is who leads that squad? A sergeant or a staff sergeant? Before we talk about it, when you and I came in the Marine Corps, how long did it take to make sergeant?
You made it just at the end of your second enlistment, so about seven years. You know, it was kind of like that hook, like, man, I've been a sergeant for a year and a half. Man, I might as well see what staff sergeant's like. I'll stay in.
Okay, so 6 to 7 years. Today, when do you become a sergeant?
You can become a sergeant first enlistment within 4 years, which is, that needs to fix.
And my point is that the Marine Corps got pushed, and it happened across the board with different ranks. We were the slowest to promote officers. We were the slowest to promote enlisted. But with that came, when you got your sergeants, they were salty ass guys. They were ready to be sergeant. They were chomping at the bit, like biting leather and wood, because they were ready for the responsibility, because they'd been corporals for a while. They'd been lance corporals for a long time. I had lance corporals 28 months time in grade. I mean, they were lance corporals forever, waiting to try to pick up corporal. And it was not easy to get promoted, and it took a while. But what that did was, you had a really experienced guy who was a squad leader, right? And then if they reenlisted, and they stayed around for a while, so you have a guy going into his third enlistment that's a sergeant. He knows his shit, right? Well, now you have more stuff, and this whole concept of dispersed operations, more technology, and that guy's a first term enlistee. He's a novice still. He's going to be probably a good NCO, but he's still a novice. He doesn't have enough reps. He doesn't have enough seasoning in terms of leadership. And this has been my argument against more than one meritorious promotion in a career. You need time to season in your juices before you get promoted again at the drill field. Because if you don't have that, you become a first sergeant, and you should be a staff sergeant, and you're a first sergeant. And I ran into this, and she was from the drill field. And it doesn't work that good. You need time. So I'm curious, do you think that's a worthy thing for the Marine Corps to examine, because it certainly isn't in the position relative to manpower to have staff sergeants as infantry squad leaders. Is that something, in your opinion, the Marine Corps ought to look at?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that we were looking at way back then. How do we do this? How do we fix this problem? Because it is a problem. What we did with the officers is we made the course tougher. We put more stuff in it, and it's an ass kicker, man, that course. But, it's crazy. Hey, how do you change your spelling dictionary? It's in German for some reason. How do I get it back to English?
In what? On what?
On the computer.
Well, whatever your browser is, you gotta go to your
browser. No, it's on PowerPoint.
Okay, you go into settings, and you go dictionary, and there should be a drop-down menu, and somebody changed it to German.
I'll have to look for it.
There
you're right. Dictionary.
There you go.
German? How did I get German at?
See, that's what happens. You get drunk, you get on the computer, right? You're supposed to be pouring coffee, you pour bourbon, and there you have it. There you have it. Hey, did you get a chance final question, did you get a chance to watch the president's round table thing? Did you watch that? Or were you under the weather?
Round table?
Yeah.
Well, you could tell by my response, the answer would be no.
Right. No, he held, how normally they'll have a meeting and he brings them in and he says a few words and then they leave?
Right.
They didn't leave, they stayed, and they talked about immigration. It was awesome. For about 50?
Oh, I saw the highlights of it.
You should see the whole thing. It's awesome. It's great. And you're thinking,
this is where Fox News was kind of like, Fox News is in a panic because they thought, when he started talking about making concessions between, bilateral agreements and everything, everybody else would start panicking, like, oh, he's going to make deals with the Democrats?
Yeah. And guess what?
It's his job.
Hey, memo to Laura Ingraham. Those 11 million people who you think are going to self-deport, they're not going to self-deport, okay? Figure it out. They're not self-deporting, okay?
Right.
the vast majority of those people are hardworking people that have been in this country for a while. All right, so what's the solution to it? Stand on your principle and say, your first act coming here can't be illegal and breaking the country? Okay, I got it. Help me solve the problem. They plead guilty to a misdemeanor. What? Okay, they sign a paper saying, look, I know I came here illegally, but I'm expected to not be convicted of a felony. If I am, I can be deported, you know, and I'll serve a probation period of 15 years, and after 15 years, I can apply to be an American citizen. The Dreamers, no question about that, along with no question about there's got to be some kind of barrier, call it a wall, call it whatever you want to. There's got to be better security so that we, and again, to quote Lindsey Graham, we can't come back and do this in 20 years. This is one and done. And so security's right. Got to be part of it. So, no, it was really interesting. I thought you would have enjoyed it.
I saw highlights of it. Yeah. I will watch it now.
Yeah, but you know the highlights. They screw it up. So, anyway. All right, man. Well, you sound better. You feel better?
Yeah, I feel a lot better. Why is it still in German?
Who's sprechen Sie Deutsch in your house? Is your wife? Is she German? Your daughter?
Change, not in dictionary, firearm, change to Fosse Arima. No.
Oh, my God. All right. Say goodbye to everybody. Nice to hear your voice again.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, say bye, Uncle Vito.
Who's Uncle Vito?
Constantini.
No, that's the Don.
The Don. No, don't call him the Don. That's a sign of respect.
He speaks like he's a Don, doesn't he?
No,
come on.
Doesn't. He's too mean. Dons are nicer. They give people.
No, he's got the real calm.
They give people fruit. Hey, no, hey, Constantini. He's,
Michael Corleone.
He's he's mean. Constantini's mean. Very direct. When you saw Vito Corleone, that's true. When you saw Vito Corleone, he was giving his grandkids fruit and things like that, and he's talking to people. He was never a mean guy, except when you crossed him.
Yeah, well, you got to talk like, you got to put something in your cheeks to talk like Corleone. Hey, Michael, please come over here. I want to talk to you. See, I got banana in my mouth.
Do you? All right. Well, first of all, good to hear your voice. Hope all works out with your license plate controversy. And if you need me to go to the DMV, let me know. I'll go down there.
Oh no, I'd love for you to DMV. Go.
No, well, you got to send me the papers.
Videotape it.
You got to send me the papers. I'm happy to go do run an errand for you. I got no problems with that.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would love that.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. Why is this page not German?
Because you changed it. You might have to
this page is.
You might have to get out of the program and go back into
this page. This page is English. The next page is German. What? All right. I got to figure this out.
Got it. All right, man. Have a good one. That is the one and only, the Gunner. Who knew? Who knew? He's alive. So that'll do it on a Thursday. How exciting. How absolutely exciting. That'll do it on a Thursday. Have a great day. My thanks to Grant Nuschen for hopping on, talking about a whole bunch of things. If you missed that interesting interview talking about the issue of comfort women still raises its head in when it comes to Japanese and South Korean cooperation, if you can believe that. Yeah. So you'll hear him talk about that. You also hear him talk about the most recent negotiations and how North Korea would view that, how we should view it. You'll hear him talk about the United States Navy's 7th Fleet in the Pacific. You'll hear him talk about appeasing dictators. You'll hear him talk about B-2s to Guam, which happened this morning. And if you missed, if you're just tuning in and you missed the gunner, you'll hear him talk about the California DMV, the Texas DMV, and you'll also hear him talk about re-kidding Marines, staff sergeants and squad leaders, and also you'll hear him talk about the Marine Corps' adoption of the M27 for infantry Marines. Yeah, and he's very happy about that because we're not all infantry Marines. But when it comes to equipment, you can't slide anybody, which is stupid. And it looks like Gerald Neller is beyond that. So we'll take a quick break. This program continues. Don't touch that dial. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow on a Thursday. All Marine Radio over and out.